Something that the Quran mentions under the topic of value is, and it's a recurring theme, honestly, which Allah constantly reminds us of throughout the verses of the Quran, is that this world, the value of this world, is worth absolutely nothing, or at least very, very little compared to the hereafter. And I feel that often, at least for myself, that is another arena where I'm constantly shifting my own values. Sometimes when I find myself prioritizing my dunya over my akhirah, choosing assets and merits from my dunya over the prosperity and my well-being in the hereafter. When I find myself preferring a fleeting, short-lived pleasure that I can experience through material means over Allah's satisfaction. And it really gets me thinking, what happened to me that as a Muslim, I still have trouble defining my values or placing my values and determining what's worth more in my life, whether it's this material world and its gains and its benefits and interests, though short-lived and fleeting, or something that I can gain and would last me for all of eternity. And I think one of the reasons that the interests, the material interests, sometimes overpower that of the hereafter and the eternal abode is because of the struggle that I have to endure to gain either one. Obviously, I have to go through way less trouble to find pleasure in this world, right? And meet my worldly desires. It's less tedious, it's less tiring. I get very immediate gratification. But with the hereafter, it often demands and requires years and years of training and self-refinement and awareness, holding myself accountable for things that make me uncomfortable, constantly putting myself in check. And these sort of things aren't very fun. But that is the case at the end of the day with all valuable things. No pain, no gain. A doctor, I'm not necessarily saying that, and I'm not under any circumstances saying that a doctor is worth more than someone who's not a doctor, but sometimes what a doctor can gain, can achieve through their practice, which is saving a life, well, it's more valuable than perhaps what a radio host can achieve, right? But a doctor got where they are through years and years and years of grinding and staying up late and practicing and studying and memorizing textbooks and discipline, missing out on a whole lot of fun and parties and staying, hanging out with friends, and to gain something that would be considered as worth their time and their energy. And the same goes to the hereafter. So the more valuable something is, the more we have to pay for it. Maybe that's why the dream that person had was so weird, to have to pay 8,000, whatever their currency was, for a pair of socks, when we know that socks are worth so much less than that. It takes less effort to produce a pair of socks than it does to produce a Rolex watch or a 4-carat diamond. And that's how we place the worth and value of something, I think. What it takes for us to attain it. It takes us an entire lifetime to attain a prosperous, worthy hereafter. A hereafter that is worthy of Allah's most magnificent, most prized creation. And we need to think about that more often. I'm worth more than this world. The value I place on myself and my own life and time, I think, is the one that I need to consider the most and be most cautious of. That's all the time we have for today's episode of The Lantern. Thank you so very much for sharing with us your valuable time. Until another segment, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillah
tatma'innul qulub. Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is taught me the art of well.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam and warmest greetings to you, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, September 5th, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back to your program. This is Listeners Special. And for your information, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important and useful to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh. Mizanur Rahman is one of our regular listeners. Also, we have reception reports from Ismo Kapi from Finland and another reception report from Harald Seuss, one of our regular listeners from Austria. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program I will read their emails or letters, including Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, who has sent us an email. Eddie is one of our regular listeners. Bashir A. Ahmad from Algeria has sent us an email. Marek Peace from Poland has sent us an email. And we have another email from Canada. And this email is from Chris Malbo, one of our regular listeners. And the last but not the least is an email from Reinhard Klein Arendt from Germany. A million thanks for sending us these emails, dear listeners. So, after a short break, I will be back with all these kind messages. Stay tuned. welcome back. This is an email from Indonesia, from one of our regular listeners in this country, Indonesia, from Eddie Witanto. Eddie says, firstly, let me send you my greetings from Jakarta. Thank you for your email. Day by day, I tune in to the IRIB English Radio because many topics and issues about Iranian culture and society and Islamic teachings are presented in the programs and they are very interesting. I hope to receive a printed QSL card soon because as a long-time shortwave listener, I still prefer the printed QSL card instead of EQSL. Best regards from Indonesia. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia, and many thanks for sending us this kind and really amazing email from your region, from Jakarta. We are really happy that our signals are received in your region, in Jakarta, Indonesia. Thank you very much for sending us this email. So, that's great that you listen to IRIB English Radio every day. As you said, day by day, you tune in to IRIB English Radio. And it seems that you are very much interested in topics and issues about Iranian culture and society and Islamic teachings. That's great. This gives us motivation to continue our way and to provide the best service, the best kind of programs for our dear listeners around the world. So, you prefer paper QSL card, and as you may know, right now, at the time of pandemic, this is not possible to send you paper QSL cards. Maybe after the pandemic, we will send our dear listeners printed QSL cards and the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, the promotional items. So please, for the time being, wait for an EQSL cards. And best regards from Iran, Eddie Witanto from Indonesia. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And from Algeria, from Africa, we have an email from Bashir A. Ahmad. Bashir A. Ahmad from Algeria says, hello, dear IRIB English Radio staff. My name is Bashir, and I have to say that I like many things about your culture, and as I have read before, Iranians have a very deep and rich and long existing history. I hope that I can visit Iran and see the beauties of your country very soon, hopefully, after the corona pandemic is over. Thank you all. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Bashir A. Ahmad from Algeria. And I do express my appreciations to you for sending us this email. That's great. It seems that you like the programs about the culture of Iran, as you said. You have learned many things about the culture of Iran, and you described the Iranian culture as a very deep and rich and long existing thing and its history. So, you'd like to visit Iran and see the beauties of Iran, but as you may know, at the time of pandemic, it's not possible. So, you can listen and refer to IRIB English Radio to listen to programs about the culture and history of Iran, including a series called Close Up Iran. I think this program best and most describes the Iranian culture and touristic attractions of Iran. Of course, we have other programs too, we have the archives of these programs in our website, so you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/yen, and there you can find different programs about the culture of Iran. Anyway, Bashir A. Ahmad from Algeria, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Well, dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Poland. This email is from Marek Peace from Poland. Marek says, Dear IRIB English Radio, greetings from Poland. Thank you very much for the EQSL. I sent my new reception reports. I listen to your programs from southeast of Poland in a city called Rzeszów. If my report is correct, please confirm it and send me the detailed EQSL. It would be also great to receive other items such as shortwave broadcast times and frequencies, stickers and other materials. I'm waiting for your answer. Thank you. Best regards in 73. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Marek Peace from Poland, and warm gratitudes to you for sending us this email. So it seems that you have tuned into IRIB English radio programs, and we are so happy that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English radio in your region and in your country, Poland. My colleagues will soon send you EQSL card, and it seems that you like these EQSLs, as you may know. We had the tradition of sending our dear listeners paper QSL cards, but at the time of pandemic, we are sending you these EQSL cards. Maybe after the pandemic, we soon send our dear listeners the promotional items and paper QSL cards, but right now enjoy them, the EQSL cards. Marek Peace from Poland, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Here from Canada, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Chris Malboff. Yes, this email is from Chris Malboff, who says, Hello and greetings from British Columbia, Canada. Hope this email finds you well. I haven't been able to listen to your station in quite some time, but I am just returning to becoming a regular listener of your radio. Have a good day and have a good week ahead, and stay safe during this pandemic. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Chris Malbo from Canada. You were not able to listen to IRIB English Radio sometime, but we are so happy that you have just returned to become a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. So why don't you tell us your reason? I wish you could tell us the reason why you were not able to listen to IRIB English Radio. What was the reason? Anyway, we're so happy that you have come back to become a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. Of course, many thanks for your best wishes to IRIB English Radio staff. We wish everyone health and safety in the time of pandemic. So, Chris Malboff from Canada, now that you are a regular listener of IRIB English Radio, write to us soon and tell us which programs you like the best. After a short break, I will be back with an email from Germany from Reinhard Klein Arendt. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Here, as I said, we have an email from Reinhard Klein Arendt from Germany. Reinhard says, My name is Reinhard and I am from Bergheim near Köln. I am a medium wave enthusiast. I try to listen to stations as far away as possible. Last week I heard for the first time your station. When I heard a station for the first time, I sent out a reception report in which I told about reception quality of the station signal here in Germany, accomplished by an MP3 clip with a recording of data station to prove reception. At the same time, I asked for confirmation that the details of that report are correct and that I really received the station. Will it be possible for you to listen to the clip attached? that is about 35 seconds, and to notify me whether I really received your radio. Thanks a lot. By the way, in 2018, I visited Iran 2 times. I made long travels in Iran, visiting Shiraz, Isfahan, Yazd, Persepolis, and other nice places. I received much hospitality of the Iranian people. Thank you for that. Best regards. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Reinhard Klein Oren from Germany. And many thanks for writing to us. So, it's the first time that you received the signals of IRIB English Radio. That's great. And we hope that you become a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. So, my colleagues have verified the details of your report and will soon send you an EQSL to you. It was amazing. You said in 2018, that is before the coronavirus pandemic, you visited Iran 2 times. That's great. So, was it on touristic purposes or, as you know, for something professional? Related to your profession, it seems that it was for touristic reasons, because you visited the most some of the most beautiful cities of Iran, including Shiraz, Isfahan, Yazd, and Persepolis. Is a relic, is a monument located in the city of Shiraz, and that's so beautiful. So you visited all these beautiful places in Iran. Then that's great. And I have a suggestion for you. Now that you are not able to visit it, to visit these beautiful places in Iran and the beautiful culture, history, and cities of Iran at the time of pandemic, you can refer to IRIB English Radio, and there you can listen to different programs about Iranian culture and history from the tongue of our anchors and radio announcers. And that's great. Reinhard Klein Oren from Germany, we hope that after the pandemic you visit Iran soon. So, Reinhard, many thanks for writing this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRB English radio programs. Dear listeners, I think we have to skip to the next section of our, program, that is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
Yes, my name's Christopher Lewis. I've been a listener to the IRIB English Radio for nearly 16, 17 years, probably a little bit longer now. I'm just interested in shortwave broadcasts in general, Iran in particular, and events in and around the Middle East. I've just had a general interest in shortwave for a long, long time, and very interested in cultures as well. Well, first and foremost, with IRIB, I like listening to the news. That's one feature I've always looked forward to listening to, and also news commentaries, because it's not just international news, it's regional and local news that I'm interested in, and IRIB, for me, delivers that. It's concise. The news is put together very, very well. It's gathered very well. It's accurate. And also, other programs afterwards, news analysis, commentary about events in general, world events, and Iran's view on what's happening in the world, not only close to home, but also around the globe itself. I also enjoy listeners' programs, and to find out what other listeners think of IRIB and what other stations they listen to, what their view is on Iran and Iran's views about the world. Yes, I would just encourage everybody to carry on tuning into IRIB, sending your reception reports, which I know are very useful to the station itself, and just carry on sending letters of support and interest and learning more about Iran and such a wonderful country it is, because it's got a lot of culture to offer, and one day it's on my bucket list to visit. I'd love to come and visit Iran.
wishing you all the best. We wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
And I thank you, Allah. I thank you, Allah. I thank you, Allah. I thank you, Allah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we are trying to talk about the different verses of the Holy Quran, which are thematically connected to our topic, which is Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So stay with us, and let's listen to some of the verses.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ.
And abide in your houses, and do not display yourselves as was the display of the former times of ignorance. And establish prayer, and give zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah intends only to remove from you the impurity of sin, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification.
As you have been previously with us, dear listeners, we concluded that Isma and infallibility of Imam Hussein as the Isma of all the Ahlul Bayt is not exclusive. Yet what is exclusive is the prophethood and Imama, which none can attain with endeavor, even if one is totally purified. So, all human beings can reach this stage of being totally purified, but they cannot reach this stage of prophethood and imama. In the Holy Quran, we read, "Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata." Allah best knows where He places His message. The prophets, 124,000 in number, and the Imams after the Holy Prophet are 12 in number. But Isma is a station available for anyone, since it has different levels. Lady Fatima alayha salam was neither a prophet nor an Imam, but she was Ma'soom. Mary too was Ma'soom, as we have many traditions. So everyone can enjoy such capacity that he can prepare for himself the ground for the manifestation of such blessing with knowledge and practice, so that Almighty Allah will grant this station of Isma to him or her. وَأَتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ. The Holy Quran clearly says, He gives you of all that you ask Him. This asking is based on talent, and Almighty Allah does not allow any talent to go to waste. One point to take into consideration is the fact that Isma and infallibility is an optional virtue in knowledge and action. So it is a virtue. It can be acquired in the light of Almighty Allah's favor. Therefore, if a ma'asum has not done something wrong, it means that he has opted not to commit anything wrong, and not because he has been created ma'asum by nature.
He who loves you admonishes you from wrongdoing, and he who hates you entices you into wrongdoing.
Ma'soom, as the Holy Quran says, is always equipped with divine reasoning internalized in man. And in this way, man have supported the inner enemy and carnal desires. Dear listeners, for further information and explanation in this regard, you can refer to the book Ahlul Bayt, The Celestial Beings on the Earth, available at al-islam.org, a really informative and a rich book that we took great help from. Let's go further on to have a look at sin, but from the viewpoint of the infallibles. A follower of the spiritual path and a ma'soom, they see the evil nature and the result of the sin as it really is. The Holy Quran says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلَوْنَ سَعِيرًا. As for those who swallow the property of the orphans unjustly, surely they only swallow fire into their bellies. So, this verse does not mean that it is like that they are doing such, but it says that the reality of swallowing the property of the orphans unjustly is this swallowing fire. It is not like swallowing. It is swallowing fire itself. So, since the inner part of sin is fire, one who realizes this is immune from even thinking of sinning. at the end of the story of Aqil, who requested more than his right from the public fund, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Have you come to deviate me from the religion of Allah? Or are you mad? Or have some jinn overpowered you? Or are you speaking without senses?" So Imam Ali alayhi salam, who is infallible, sees bribe as the vomit of a serpent that a wise man never longs for. So, from the viewpoint of the infallible, this reality of sin is seen and recognized, and he does not even think of a wrongdoing. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا سيدي نسألك الدعاء، يا سيدي نسألك الدعاء، يا سيدي نسألك الدعاء، يا سيدي نسألك الدعاء. دمعت عليك ظلت تنزل جروح، يا ابو اليمة بمصابك ذابت الروح، طلب راي توفقني بخدمتك، ولا تحرمني من الدمع والنور. يا ابو النعمة وباب للرحمة، ادري توفيقي هو اسبابه، الك اسأل وانت تتفضل، من توظفني خادم ببابه. يا سيدي نسألك الدعاء، يا سيدي نسألك الدعاء، يا وجهي يا سيدي نسألك الدعاء، يا سيدي اشفع لنا عند
الله. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You are listening to Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio. I'm Atal, the host of this program. This series of Viewpoints is concerned with the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Qasim and Sheikh Sadiq. Sheikh Sadiq, assalamu alaikum, welcome to your show.
Assalamu alaikum, very happy to be with you.
You're welcome, brother. And Sheikh Qasim, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So, regarding the speeches and the addresses of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Imam Khamenei, regarding human being, we get into the concept of adala. You know, justice or adala is a concept that the religion of Islam in general and the Muslim rulers in specific are mainly concerned with. First of all, I want to ask you, Sheikh Qasim, how do you define justice or adala in terms of Islamic, sciences and Islamic knowledge, and what's the difference between this type of adala with the non-Islamic one?
Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عدالة or justice normally is defined as to put the thing in its own place. So first we have to know about the place of a thing, and then or some idea or some entity, and then to execute this action of putting that thing into its desired place. This is what is called idala in Islamic point of view.
So putting everything in its proper place.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So when you come, for example, if you go to the personal life of a person, this is exactly what should happen if you want to execute idala or justice. This is what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you go to the social aspect or social dimensions of human life, this is exactly the same thing that has to happen. So, you know, first, there are two actually steps that must be taken in order for executing or carrying out the action of idala or justice. The first, you have to know that thing and the properties of that thing and the place that it must be put, and then try to put it and place it in that proper place of that thing.
This type of look at the adala might overshadow all the aspects of the life of the Muslim.
Yeah,
is
sure,
it so
sure.
Is it from, for example, the daily routines to the obligatory acts, worshipping everything?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Goes under the shadow of this type of adala. So at the same time, we have this concept of adala in the non-Islamic terminology too, but I think it is very much followed in terms of the legality, the legal points, okay? Mm-hmm. From the legal, or it's better to say, the law system of the Western world. How do you differentiate between this type of justice or adala and the non-Islamic one?
I think the differentiation between these two types of adala, actually what I understand, it's not just, you know, two applications of adala.
Okay.
When it comes to, you know, comparing the adala that is carried out in the Islamic belief system,
okay,
compared to what is carried out in the Western understanding,
yes,
of, you know, society and social aspects. It's not just, you know, the difference in the examples.
That's right.
Rather, it's, you know, the intrinsically and I believe holistically these two,
okay,
idea differs from one another. So when you go to the West or to the Western understanding of justice, what is in the center is the equality of, you know, equality of those two parties that you are talking,
right,
about, the edala between those two, or,
okay,
you know,
yes,
those many that you are talking about.
Yes.
So I think this is the most important difference between the Islamic point of view,
right,
with respect to idala and the Western point of
especially
view.
When you're talking about equality nowadays, we see the rights of the minorities, the colored people, the genders, you know,
yeah,
the equality that's happening between them. But thank you very much, Sheikh Qasim. Let me get to Sheikh Sadiq. But I think according to what the religion of Islam says and what also the leader of Iran is pointing out, adala is a kind of, is a kind of need inside the human being. It is rooted in the very innate nature of the human being. That is, I think, make it very much basic need for a human being in general. Regardless of the color, race, language, or, any type of differentiation. So, do you think that the type of adala that people are seeking for nowadays in the 21st century, especially, is this type of fitri intrinsic nature, adala, or no? That is something bound into the Islamic law system, or it's better to say non-Islamic law system, brother.
Good. So we could put it this way. Is the adala that we're seeking right now, is it the fitri adala,
yes,
or is it just a social concept?
Yes, it's a social concept, because this is the main difference, I think, between,
yeah,
how Islam defines it and how non-Islamic systems of thought defines it.
Yeah, exactly. So to understand this, we first need to understand what fitra means.
Okay.
When Quran talks about fitra, It's not just any type of khilqa. It's the deepest level of our creation, which is tawheed. So fitrat Allah allati fatara an-nas alayha, it's tawheed. So we need to understand the relationship between idala and tawheed. How does idala go back to tawheed? Because everything has an apparent meaning. Everything that we know has a manifestation, a shadow in this world, and it has a reality. The deepest reality of idala is a balance between all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahim, that's one quality, but He's not just Rahim, He's also Shadid, okay. He's Muntaqim. Mm-hmm. When you have all of these names in balance, you have idala.
Okay.
So, and as Sheikh Qasim mentioned, everything in its place. So, Rahim, Ruhamahu Bainahum.
That's right.
When you have Shadid, Ashidda wa al-Kuffar. So, you have to be Shadid in its place, you have to be Rahim in its own place. You cannot be Rahim everywhere.
Okay.
If you're Rahim with Kuffar, kind to everyone,
okay,
that's not an Islamic quality.
So, sorry, you mean this type of adala or justice that is in the very nature of the Tawhidi thinking or monotheistic thinking is automatically conveyed into the nature of the human beings.
Exactly.
As the creator of the human beings. Very beautiful. Okay. And that's, if you can't say that human beings at least sensed some of the parts or fragrance of the divinity.
Exactly.
So this type of adala has to be conveyed into the very soul of the human being.
But the problem is sometimes we go out of balance. Oh. Right? Some people are so focused on being Rahim.
Okay.
That they forget that they have to be Shadid sometimes.
That's all right.
That creates problems.
So when we take a look at just the lifestyle and the conduct of Prophet Muhammad and the infallible Imams, you know, during the history, we could find such a thing.
Exactly.
I mean, this type of harmony, divine harmony of Adala in their behaviors. But at the same time, you know, sometimes I think to myself that the nature around, which are the other parts of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are doing their adala towards us as human beings, okay? The sun rises and the sun sets and the moon and the nature, the trees and the animals, okay? The clouds, the rain, all of them are in a type of harmonious nature, which is, I think, a type of adala can be seen in them working towards us. But as you said, that's right, this is a kind of feeling inside. So, if you wanna apply such a kind of justice, Sheikh Sadiq, in our life, how can we do that? I mean, what is the method? For example, as a Muslim, wanna apply this type of adala in my life, what should I do?
Well, if we wanna make, you know, half-hearted, just attempts, we can do what we're doing right now. Everyone is basically seeking adala in some way. But if we want to do it the right way, we need to look at a complete manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
We need to look at Amirul Mu'mineen. Mm-hmm. We need to look at our imams.
That's right.
Right? When we have our Sahib al-Zaman, when he is our leader, then we will look at him and see full manifestation of Allah, all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its place.
That's right.
And we know what adala is, mm-hmm, at every moment. Okay. Then we can have true justice.
That's all right. But finding true justice is difficult. As I said, there are different movements nowadays whose main slogan and motto is seeking justice. Justice for this, justice for that. Justice for animals, justice for nature, justice for this and that, you know. And it makes it very much difficult. But Sheikh Qasim, let's get to you. Thank you very much, Sheikh Sadiq, for elaboration on this topic. And Sheikh Qasim, let me get to you, brother. Is it justice to give everything, everybody... and every person around the same portion of what we have? Is this adala?
Of course not. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the thing is, or the difference that that we can observe in the Islamic system belief comparing to what we are seeing in, for example, the liberal understanding of adala, is the way, I said that there are two compartments when you're talking about adala and justice. There are two things that you have to think about. The first is how you describe that thing, you know, and how to distinguish the place, the proper place of that thing, and then try to execute and try to carry out, you know, putting that thing in its own place.
Okay.
So the clash or the difference, let me put it this way, the difference that happens is start from this, you know, the first step, the first thing that we have to do, which is the how to define that object that you're talking about, its justice, or putting it into justice. So when you go to Islam and you find out how Islam defines, for example, when you're talking about the idala of human beings.
Okay.
How does Islam define human being, and how does Islam describe the reality of a human being? As my brother mentioned, you know, Islam gives a sort of monotheistic and a tawhidi perspective for human beings.
Okay.
So when you describe human being as a monotheistic, as a person who is in his or her path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so when you want to distinguish his or her place, you know, it's completely different from a worldview that observe human being a completely material object. A thing that is here just to, you know, just to satisfy his or her desires.
It reminds me very much of the thoughts of Shahid Malcolm X. You know, before converting to Islam, he was looking for justice among the colored people, okay? But after conversion to Islam, according to the documents existing, it says the approach that Islam had and the trip that he took to the Mecca, to the Hajj pilgrimage, okay, on that time, he said, made me think that or rethink about the concept of justice or adala among the people.
Exactly.
I was looking for justice, but it was among the social boundaries of the U.S.
Because of the difference in definition, you know, in that context,
that's right,
and the Islamic context.
Okay, that's right. In the liberal capitalist movements. And I think the problem is this. Nowadays, the people in the world are looking for the justice, but the type of justice they are looking for is very much limited to the humanistic approaches to justice, at least finding an answer for their materialistic, mundane, worldly needs, not the divine one. But if you are going to change the approach, you're going to change the lenses on your eyes, I think. Thank you very much, Sheikh Qasem and Sheikh Sadiq, for your presence in the program Viewpoints. It was very kind of you. We tried to discuss justice, adala, and seeking justice based on the viewpoints of the supreme leader of Iran, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. It was very kind of you, Sheikh Qasem.
Pleasure.
And Sheikh Sadiq. Thank you very much. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to us. For more information, visit our website, apostolate.com/Ian Call of Islam page, also YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Fi amanallah. Assalamu alaikum, ya Abu Abdullah.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong, a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
The light.
Young generations are becoming more concerned about our planet and seem determined to contribute to make it environmentally friendly. A great example is this Parisian boy who spends a lot of time fishing metals out of rivers and canals in the French capital. Good for him. 11-year-old Raphael uses magnets and grappling irons to fish metal objects out of the Seine River in Paris. Over the past 2 years, he has taken hundreds of bikes, scooters and shopping trolleys out of the water. The boy says the practice was initially a hobby for him, but it eventually turned into a reasonability and a method to raise awareness about climate and environmental issues.
My goal is to raise awareness so that a maximum of people do something. They don't have to do what I do, but at least do something. Even if it's not necessarily cleaning up cannons, it could just be picking up a cigarette butt.
Rafael has also fished some very rare items out of different canals, including handguns, pieces of jewelry, and an artillery shell. An exhibition is therefore being held in Paris where Raphael's findings are going to be put on display. The young environmentalist has also been awarded the Medal of Paris, a prize belonging to the residents who accomplish a deed concerning the city. Brazilian researchers have discovered a substance that could be used as a drug against COVID-19, and you may not like where they found it. A group of scientists have come across a potentially life-saving molecule in the venom of a kind of Brazilian pit viper. It is a peptide or a chain of amino acids that limited reproduction of the coronavirus in monkey cells by 75%. The peptide can be synthesized in the laboratory, so there is no need to capture more vipers. Now the researchers will evaluate whether the molecule can be used to create medicine for treating people with COVID-19. Thousands of cows have descended from their summer quarters in the Swiss Alps to enjoy the warm temperatures of lower heights. The cattle herds spent 7 weeks in the Alpine mountains, grazing at an altitude of nearly 2,000 meters. Their journey down started before sunrise and took almost 5 hours to complete. The cows, which couldn't make the trek due to injury, had already been carried down using trucks and helicopters. Farming has found an alternative look in the Netherlands, where cows produce milk on an eco-friendly floating farm. That may seem a surreal image of Rotterdam, the largest port in Europe. A herd of cows peacefully feed on board of what is known as the world's first floating farm. They live on the top floor of the three-story farm, while their milk is turned into dairy products on the other two floors. The floating farm opened in 2019. The owners say it aims to show the future of breeding and farming.
You must realize that the world is under pressure. Therefore, we have less and less land, agricultural land. Our idea is that in this way, we can actually create agricultural land close to the city and also adaptable to the climate.
The floating farm is seen as a good alternative for normal farming in the Netherlands. That's a country with scarce land while being threatened by climate change. The farm's owners have also applied eco-friendly methods to make it durable and self-sufficient as much as possible. The methods include using solar panels and feeding the cows with grass from sports fields.
An Australian cyclist has become the first woman in history to pull off a front flip on a mountain bike. Caroline Buchanan landed the front flip at the OD9 cycling event in the German city of Birkenfeld. The maneuver won the former two-time Olympian the women's best trick title in the event. This was the first time the Nines featured a female category. The annual event gathers the world's best slopestyle and freeride mountain cyclists to Germany. A spectacular light show has mesmerized people in a great